Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again.
With Scott Bogman and Chris Wells.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Does that blow your mind?
That just happened.
Welcome back. Hour three of In This League right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Bogman of the Welsh. You know, in our open, that one clip, if people didn't understand it, they should get it. But that girl that goes, "We're there here," that's from Poltergeist.
Yes.
Poltergeist. And I had this long conversation about scary movies, similar to what we've had before on this road trip that I was going. Talk about scary, going to the border, Yuma, Mexico border for horrible, ridiculous reasons. And we got in this long conversation. I was with some people about scary movies. And one of the persons had the similar take as you on scary movies of like, I'm alone. I live alone. I'm not a scared person, but right. I get scared. Because one of the people was arguing like, we're
not
adults.
Really scared. It's jumpy.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I'm halfway through because one of the people was arguing like, when you're an adult, scary movies don't scare you anymore because you know it's all fake. And it's like, well, you know, like I can get jumpy about stuff. And there's certain things that freak, like possession freaks me out more than like, you know.
Probably, especially when you have little kids running around.
Yeah, like
house,
before, so. Like violence and stuff. But then the other guy was your take where he's like, no, I get scared. He's like, because I live alone. I don't like to see the movies. And he had all the same takes you had. But
right.
We were talking about some of the movies that he should see that he hasn't seen. And then I had randomly brought up Poltergeist. And he was just like, one of the guys was like, Poltergeist is just garbage. It doesn't hold up whatsoever. And I was like, huh, I remember when I was younger, that movie being kind of freaky with the TV and the we're here and they're going in another zone and the skeletons and whatever. And it got me thinking, like, what scary movies are the worst hold up? Like, are the worst at holding up long term?
Blair Witch.
And what are the best? Okay, so you think Blair Witch doesn't hold up at all?
No. Like, Blair Witch creeped me right out when I saw it.
I thought it was real. I saw it in the theaters before the news was out that it was fake.
Me too. That's why, like, I remember watching it and just, like, having chills run down my
spine.
So
are you saying it doesn't hold up because comparative to, like, its release, it's...
Yes.
Okay.
It's terrible. Like, if you go back and watch it now, first of all, it'll make you seasick because it's all shaky cam.
Yeah, that's
which
true.
Is terrible.
And then also you can't unsee the snot nose scene because then in Scary Movie, they did the big snot bubble.
Right. Exactly.
Scary Movie
so,
3, I think.
And that was like one of the most dramatic things in the movie that happened.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the final scene, when you know it's all made up and fake, it's just lame. There's nothing. There's no real peak in that movie. There's no climax. So it's just kind of like, okay, that was creepy, and now it's over.
It's like a testament to the ones that do hold up, because we were talking about like the Halloween series and how embarrassing they are with Michael Myers. They're not really good. Maybe even some of the original, like the very first Friday the 13th. Then they took a turn, I think, into the 90s where it got like a bit too much. But like Exorcist, it doesn't hold up to the same degree, but I think you can give it the
so
hold
creepy.
Up. You can give it the thumbs up that it holds up because it still elicits like Jesus Christ. Christ, with the like the voice and the thing. And sometimes these older movies, and that's the key, when they do stuff that you don't do in movies anymore, like she does a little thing with a cross that you're not going to really see in movies anymore, and not a lot do that. You know, another one, The Shining holds the F up.
Yeah, well, you don't need, like, in The Shining, it's a guy going crazy and there's other weird stuff in there, but you didn't need so much crazy over the top graphical stuff, you know what I mean?
Like, well, the intensity holds up. Like right. A lot of times, and here's the problem with movies as time goes on. Like I see, especially, God, man, sci-fi movies really struggle with this. If you saw sci-fi movies in the 90s, and it's like, cell phones. They don't even have a version of cell phones. Like,
how about Event Horizon, though?
I mean, but okay,
that might be the creepiest one I've ever seen.
That one holds the hell up. But a lot of movies suffer from these continuity things as time and technology goes by. That is a struggle. But then when you find these movies like The Exorcist, or I mean, I truly think Shining might be a masterpiece in that you just don't think 1 second about cell phones or computer. It just doesn't click with you. Right. That's not how that movie is built. It's so unique and how old it is. Where you can think of great masterpiece, even if it's not horror movies, movies that you've seen in the past that it's like, it's kind of hard to, for that to follow up. But I think The Shining does.
You sound like the scene in Forgetting Sarah Marshall when he's like, that movie was garbage. What if your cell phone killed you?
Oh, yeah. They're like, well, it's an expression of technology and how it's taking over.
He
picks up the
phone and then he acts like he dies.
It's,
you know,
so funny. Yeah, it's so funny. I was just thinking about that with, I mean, you can take it to a million different spaces, but horror movies specifically, you know, they elicit such a visceral feeling that when you go back.
I do like, I want to go and buy that doll from Annabelle and just send it to your house. That is what I want to do.
I would call the FBI. If I got that, and I would say you track where this came, I would lose it.
You know, doll thing, funny.
My aunt had a collection of Raggedy Ann dolls when she was, I think I've told this a couple times, 300 Raggedy Ann dolls in one of the rooms in her house.
She's trying to take over the world with those things.
It was you know what? I should ask her. I haven't thought of it. And I just saw her a couple months ago. She lives in California. I should ask, what was your problem with the Raggedy Ann thing? Cause I hate that stuff.
No, what's funny is I was watching, like, I was trying to go to bed last night. I couldn't sleep and I was on YouTube and it, you know, went down a rabbit hole of some creepy stuff on YouTube. And one of them was, I don't know if you've seen this, but a guy saw it was just this big styrofoam thing and it had tape over it and it was just floating down this river. And so he went out in the water, he grabbed it and he brings it back and someone's filming him opening it. He opens it up. And it's just a doll in it.
No.
And
is this real?
Yeah, it's real. And he thought it was, for a second, he thought it was like a kid in there. So we like really panicked. And then he looked and he saw it was just a doll. But like, that's either like the smartest, most evil prank ever that somebody did. They like put a creepy looking doll in a styrofoam box, duct taped it up. And sent it down the river so someone would be creeped out about it. Or, you know, some Annabelle stuff was going on with that doll. So they taped it up and got rid of it. Now it's this guy's problem.
And
so.
The problem is half the people be like, oh, cool. What is this? I would open that up and I go, nope.
Send it on down the river.
Audibly drop a nope. And I would throw it back in the river. There's no way whatsoever. But it also had me thinking because later today, my birthday thing, we're going to go see a horror movie. We're going to go see the remake of Pet Sematary. And I don't think the original Pet Sematary would hold up very well.
Isn't the Chucky one coming out soon too?
Yeah, Chucky, I don't know. Chucky's kind of a joke.
Chucky is definitely a joke. The only reason I'd want to see that though is Aubrey Plaza. So,
is she going to be like the Jennifer Tilly?
She's the mom.
Really?
She's the mom in the movie for the kid. Mom?
That's weird.
She's like, you know, a little bit younger than us. So she's early 30s now. So
that's depressing. Oh, that's weird. No, I mean, okay, maybe I'd be into it. But I just like, you know, those things don't hold up. I don't think I kind of feel like Pet Sematary might hold up. Like also because I brought up the Langoliers because I love to bring that up. And there's not a movie that holds up worse than the Langoliers. Like
One's the Langoliers?
Stephen King's The Langoliers. It was a book. If you you know, you love to read, listen to books. Langoliers was like a really popular series. And then.
How many Stephen King books have you read?
Like two, I think.
Okay.
But like there's one. But they did a mini series and I don't remember if it was like ABC or NBC or whatever, and it was like a 3 or 4 part mini series. And it was real intense and they were building it up. And then at the time I remember like when they finally show the Langoliers, you're like, oh, okay.
How do we get on this? What are you, Dean Koontz?
Who's that?
He's a horror writer.
Oh, okay. Didn't work for me. But go and search like a scene from the Langoliers, like when they show up, it's so embarrassing how bad it holds up. And the concept is all great. The Langoliers look embarrassing. It
You have to name a team, the Langoliers. You said it 450 times here. So you said the Langoliers and Langoliers. You got to read the Langoliers.
I like the Langoliers.
Langoliers. Don't hold up. The Langoliers. Right. Yeah. What about the wasn't there an evil leprechaun movie? What was that one?
Leprechaun, I think.
It was just called Leprechaun?
I'm pretty sure it was just called Leprechaun.
I remember being in second grade and they put that in for us to watch for Halloween or something. And 5 minutes in, someone came around the corner and said, "What are you guys doing?" And they stopped the movie immediately. And yeah. Because I think it was rated R. Well, but I think someone went to Blockbuster and saw, "Oh, look, a leprechaun." You know what? I think it was actually for St. Patty's Day. Someone said, "Oh, look, a cute leprechaun movie," and grabbed it. And they were just going to throw it on without watching it. They didn't realize the leprechaun was going around murdering people.
And the worst thing is, too, is I think when they, because Hollywood has no original ideas anymore, and all they do is remake everything, or they take a toy brand and they make a movie out of it. You know, it's they made a movie about emojis. That's how how bad of a spot we're in. But also it takes away, and I feel like it's something that we're going to lose over time. I like the idea of thinking there's movies that don't hold up anymore, but as they keep making remakes of them, we're going to lose that. They're going to just remake everything, and then it doesn't even matter anymore. It's because what happens is then you compare, because I just thought about that movie It. Tim Curry.
I didn't see the new one.
Well, I saw the new one, and Tim Curry was the original It, and it was creepy. And then they went all nutty with this new one, and it's kind of dumb. It's kind of stupid. what were we going to talk about with Vladimir Guerrero Jr.? I did the thing.
Yeah,
and
I guess.
Off.
Is he the Langoliers? Is that him?
He's not. He's about the size of a Langolier. It kind of looks like.
Are they fat?
I know what the question was. Let's assume he is up and playing by May 1st. Is Vladimir Guerrero Jr. going to be able to run away with a Rookie of the Year award? Furthermore, will he be the top rookie in all of baseball when all is said and done statistically? Knowing, I think, Fernando Tatis Jr. has 6 homers. Pete Alonso just hit his 7th. Robles has been pretty solid. Will Vlad be at the top of the rookie game at the end of this year if he comes up with the first month?
I think I would still stick with Vlad because, and this is tough to say, because coming into the year, I was like, well, he's got, this oblique injury, and that can kind of screw with hitters sometimes, just players sometimes. So, but if he comes up and he's already rocking in AAA and he goes and starts early May, I just think that the skill is there for him to not really hit too many rough patches early in his career. Whereas for Pete Alonso, he's going to have to see some of these pitchers a second, third time, and they're going to start getting him. So he'll probably have a rough patch. And he's not known for being an average hitter anyway, right? The Welsh. I mean, you know more about these guys than I do.
Here's the problem with him. He hit 280 last year. So, he can hit for average, but the presumption with him, and what it was ironic, I've always kind of felt, and I'm not sure if I've conveyed it, maybe I have, but I've always kind of felt like he could be one of those guys that was looked at similar to Paul Goldschmidt, where people looked at Paul Goldschmidt in the minors and they were like, well, how he does this weird hitch, and fly up on the swing, it's just not, when he's, starts getting to the major leagues and guys throwing 97, he's not gonna be able to catch up to it. And then he did. And everyone presumed he was going to be a sub 270 hitter and he just wasn't going to be able to hold up. That is not a similarity necessarily in how they swing. But the same thing with Alonso, where people are like, yeah, he's doing fine now, but I don't know if he's going to hold up when he gets to the majors. And I don't think he's going to be a 300 plus hitter, but he legitimately might hit 280, but nobody assumed that he would.
I think he's the only one that could challenge Vlad.
Yeah, because I feel if I ask you that question and you say, yeah, Vlad is there, that kind of means that there's got to be a relatively significant drop in both of the rookies, because Pete Alonso has got a great run. I know they're different divisions if you're talking about Rookie of the Year, but if we're talking about overall, you've got Pete Alonso really running away with this. Tatis' average isn't quite there, but he's dropping bombs. Michael Chavis just got called up by the Red Sox. So there's a lot of rookies vying for it, with Alonso having already 7 homers, before Vladimir Guerrero would even come up. For Vlad to pass him, Vlad would have to have really high counting stats, which he isn't necessarily a 40-plus homer hitter. And that would mean, I feel like Pete Alonso would really have to drop off.
Yeah, and I think that there's a possibility for that. And I think that all of the skill is there for Vlad. I don't know that there's going to be too much dropping off. I mean, he's just been the number one prospect. Like, I mean, how far back would you have to go? Like, who was the last prospect you'd put ahead of him?
Oh, like
Harper?
Yeah, maybe.
Like, that's it. And you might not even put Harper ahead of him. No. So it looks like everything's locked in for him. And Pete Alonso is going to be a great player, and he already has been playing.
Also
great.
Might have been Acuna. You know, I mean, like, it just happens to be the last 2 years of the hype.
Right. So those two guys right there, I mean, that's big shoes to fill. Yeah. And while I do think Pete Alonso is going to be really good, I mean, obviously, we'd have to find someone in the AL that's as good as Vlad, because he'd be winning AL Rookie of the Year, like you mentioned before. But yeah. I think May 1st and he's good to go. Do you think, like, if he doesn't come up in this homestand, you don't think they would bring him up on the road at all, right?
I think they could. I think they could. I think it could be within. I think it's just before May 1st. That's how I feel okay. about it. By the way, Pete Alonso wanting to participate in the Home Run Derby because that $1 million cash bounty. I love that.
Well, and the young players that are stuck on those crappy deals are definitely going to want to be in it.
Vlad probably would be like, let me in.
Of course. But I think that because it's $1 million now, maybe some of the bigger name stars will actually want to play
Who
for it.
Who doesn't want to for $1 million? It's the best thing. You know what? It's the best decision baseball's made.
I bet you Goldie still doesn't do it.
Who?
So, Goldie. We try to get, you know, Arizona try to convince him to be in, especially. When it was here, he just wanted no part of it. So
I think,
or actually it was Upton who we wanted when he was here. So,
well, I mean, we Upton, wanted stupid Prince Fielder. Yeah. He's being
dumb. He put in Ricky Weeks instead.
Ricky Weeks. How embarrassing. I just think it's, I love it. I love that baseball made that decision. I think it's one of the best that they've done in a long time. $1 million on the line. You are going to have people fighting over it, which I don't think has been the case before. Joey Gallo. Let's get him there. Let's get a guy like Pete Alonso. Pete Alonso versus Joey Gallo. Chris Davis in there all day. Bellinger.
Let's go.
Not Orioles Chris Davis, of course. All right. When we come back, it's NFL draft time. Bogman has got the live stream coming because the NFL draft is happening this Thursday. So let's go down with all the stuff, all the rumors, and all the projections like Bogman loves to do.
Let's do today. Some speculating. Let's go.
We're going.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
I generally come in at least 15 minutes late. I use the side door. After that, I just sort of space out for about an hour.
Space out?
I probably only do about 15 minutes of real, actual work.
Would you
be a good sport and indulge us and just tell us a little more? Let me tell you something about
In This League.
I'll tell you about that Patreon. Patreon.com/ITL Army. Come have fun with us. All the good stuff. Secret shows and the live stream that is going to be happening this Thursday. When are you firing that sucker up? I was almost thinking because, as everybody knows, I will be at Endgame. But Endgame starts 15 minutes after the draft. So
right.
I probably walk in the theater about 20 minutes before. So I've got kind of an hour to kill. I don't know if you're planning on doing something an hour before, but maybe I'll jump on with you.
No way. Oh. No. Dude, the first round is going to be like 4.5, 5 hours.
Let's you and me go on there and have some fun.
So I have to sit for 5.5 to 6 hours?
Yeah.
I do like sitting.
You love sitting, and you're going to get pizza.
I mean, and maybe some ramen.
Maybe some ramen. We'll see.
That pans out, but maybe.
Maybe.
A hard maybe.
So. Hard maybe. Possibly Bogman and I stream for a little bit of it, but you know, worst case, 6 p.m. Pacific Standard, 9 p.m. Eastern. God, is it really the draft really starting 9 p.m. Eastern?
Yeah, especially for when it takes so long.
East it's Coast guys ridiculous. Got it rough. Yeah, they can go to midnight or whatever. But
hey, left coast, best coast. Move on out here. There's plenty of empty homes out here. Come
can't
on.
Disagree. Boy, can I not disagree? I'm just in humor. Right. That's all I'm all. But yeah, you can check that out if you're part of Patreon. You're going to have that live stream. Bogman will be up chatting and talking and drafting and picking and prognosticating.
Prognosticating. That's right. I'll be doing all the stuff and things for the first round. So
it'll be fun. And are you doing anything on the second round? Third?
I do the whole second round too.
Damn.
We got to find, that's the second day is 2 and 3. And if I can wake my ass up early enough on Saturday, I'll be doing at least part of Saturday too. But, we have to make some plans for next week.
I don't know what we're going to do. We'll figure it out.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. But yeah, there you go. So lots of good stuff. And it's an easy click away over on patreon.com/ITL Army. Did you get all ginned up about the NFL schedule? I remember you and I talked about it, and you were just like, let me look at the schedule. And I was like, ugh. Like, I treated it like you treat all things that you're not interested in. Like the Game of Thrones and Steeler
fans. That makes sense. Ugh. Like, you don't care about the schedule.
Not one bit.
You don't care. Like,
I couldn't tell you who the Niners. I think they might open up against the Cowboys.
Well, it's not called Thursday Night Football with the Welsh, is it?
No.
It's called Thursday Night Football with Bogman. So yeah. I'd like to see what are these terrible games that I have to see.
Okay. I didn't think of it from that perspective. I didn't think of you looking at the Thursday games and being like, what is this trash?
Right.
I didn't think of that. And
some of them are pretty bad, dude.
Are they?
How about the second game, September 19th, Jacksonville versus Tennessee?
Oh,
love that one, right?
Really?
How about the Cardinals?
Can they flex that out?
How about the Cardinals and the Niners on Halloween?
That's a great game.
Oh.
What are you talking about? It's a great game.
Is it, though?
Jimmy Garoppolo? Kyler Murray?
Yeah, maybe Kyler Murray.
Probably.
Quinnen Williams, according to most recent smokescreen rumors. We'll see. Quinnen Williams. So,
nonsense.
I mean,
you believe that for one second.
It's Kyler Murray. But
if they trade down, it's Quinnen Williams.
No, it's funny that the sounder we played coming into this segment about doing only 15 minutes of work, I feel like that's what happened for all the football nuts yesterday with this schedule coming out. It was kind of late in the day, though, so I guess most people probably weren't working.
I couldn't care about anything less. Though, I did like, did you see the Panthers put out a video on their schedule that was about video games?
No, I didn't see that.
Dude, you got to watch it during the break. The Panthers.
The Steelers did one for Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood.
Oh, that's pretty good. I'm not sure anyone beats the Panthers, though. They did a different video game for each week. So, like, week one, it was like, what was that Atari game? Pitfall, where it was Cam Newton jumping over helmets, and the helmets were like whoever they play week one, like the Falcons or whatnot. And they kept going through each week was a different video game. It was really, really good. That's the, you know what? Credit to them. That made me care about, like, if I got presented some cool way that they did their schedule, I'd probably watch every single team's video if they did it like that. But I don't care about people were like waiting with bated breath about the schedule. Like, oh my God, here it comes. Who cares?
Well, dude, I understand that. But the reason I care is because over the last couple of years, the Steelers always end up playing on Christmas Day or Thanksgiving. And it drives me nuts because literally any other day is fine except for those 2 days. Now, it's been fine that they played on those days the last couple of years. But in the past, it's always been some sort of nightmare because, like I've said before, I don't care about Christmas. The Steelers are playing the Texans. I'm going to be watching, James Conner score a bunch of touchdowns, but they don't have any of those games. That's all I really cared about. And then when the Steelers come here to play in Arizona this year, so that's what I wanted to see. But a lot of people make a big deal about this, but it's funny because I told you the Mr. Rogers thing, and it was so clearly done. Like, the guy who recorded his voice did it way before the announcement, because it was like, here's the home opener. And then it just flashes the home opener. Here's the Steelers primetime games. And then it had all the primetime games. It was almost like, watching your creative player do something in Madden.
Yeah.
Where they won't say your name. Just like, here's number 5.
Or remember in the wrestling game where they would just say your nickname?
Yes. Yeah.
They'd be like, come in here, Rockstar Rocket.
Come in here. Look, it's Stone Cold versus Destroyer.
Yeah. Yeah. Destroyer can't be beat. That's good. That's actually probably a real one.
The funniest thing was the Cardinals one. They made their schedule release video. No Josh Rosen in it, the Welsh.
Ooh.
Oh, very upsetting, of course.
Speculation. Didn't Dave Gettleman was interviewed earlier this week about Josh Rosen, and he's like, I'm not doing that. He's like, it is what
pretty
it
much.
Is. And then I think, wasn't Rosen asked about it? And he's like, it is what it is.
Yeah, I think what the word that he used was, it's annoying not knowing. And of course it is. You know, he's already in. He's learning the playbook. This is what I think is going to end up happening. I think they're taking Kyler Murray. It doesn't really matter what happens with Rosen.
I think it's settled by Tuesday, by the way.
And I think that they just decide they're not getting a good enough offer for Rosen. So they'll just have him back up Kyler Murray.
Possible. This season.
Or maybe he'll start and we'll see how good he is. And maybe they can trade him or Kyler Murray next year. So, you know, you don't have to have all the answers right now if you're the Cardinals, because you're good enough to be picking number one overall in the draft.
The only reason I've consistently said that they do is because of the fan base. The fan base wants to turn on them. I think they're very volatile. They traded to get Rosen in the first round. Like, I believe the organization wants to come out of this draft to not have questions around it. They want to say, hey, we've got Kyler Murray. He's our guy. And look what we got for Josh Rosen. No longer is it speculation or a 2020 second round pick. We got said cornerback and said wide receiver. Like, that's how I believe they want to walk out of this. That's why I feel like this has to get settled before the draft, and I'm going to stick to that. I might be wrong, but I feel like Rosen gets traded like Tuesday, Wednesday, and there's an announcement of Murray being officially the guy, and it's all about the smoke screen is only about Rosen's value. I don't think it's anything else. Like, they need to put up that kayfabe that they are going to take Quinnen Williams or do something else because they like Rosen and they want the team to pay up for Rosen. And once that's all settled, then it's smooth sailing and Kyler Murray is the player.
I think that if Rosen gets traded, it will be on Friday. I think it'll be because that's what they're really asking for, is they really want a second round pick, which they're not getting. You know, what they wanted from the Redskins was the 15 overall. Redskins are like, we're not doing that. So we'll roll with Case Keenum. And if Case Keenum sucks, next year's quarterback class, much better than this year's. So
my only disagreement with that, Box, is I feel like the teams that would pay a high price and that would want Josh Rosen, they would want finality going into day one, because like the only way that's possible is if the team misses in the first round. I feel like a team would want to have their plan to know that they have Rosen so they can go do something else. The only way it works is if a team missed out.
And the guys that are traded up for the most are quarterbacks. So,
yeah, that's true.
You know, there's rumors that, you know, the Niners would trade back to get some ridiculous haul so that someone can trade in front of the Giants and take Haskins. Or if Kyler Murray doesn't go one, the Niners will trade back and get a ridiculous haul so the Raiders can jump up and take Kyler Murray. So there's all these weird.
I like the idea of the Niners getting a haul, but I also don't know if I love the idea of them moving off of Bosa.
Right, right. Well, you've become used to it now, because that's what everyone has said, is they're getting Bosa at two and that's locked down. And that's probably what's going to happen, to be honest with you. So, I mean, you can speculate all you want. Stuff is going to happen. But I think round one, the reason why you don't trade Rosen until round two is because, like, if you're, let's say you're the Giants and you're thinking you want to take one of the good defensive players at pick six, and then you're hoping that Daniel Jones falls to you at pick 17, their second pick. So if someone jumps one pick in front of you to take Daniel Jones because they've fallen in love with him in the process, whatever team that might be, jumps up and takes him. Well, now you're stuck. You really wanted Daniel Jones. You didn't trade up for him because you didn't see this scenario happening. And now you're picking someone else at 17 because you only have that 10 minutes to make that pick. Maybe you move back. That's fine. Maybe you move back. Someone else wants to move up to get a different player. You collect a couple picks, regroup, and move on from there. But then you also still have this Josh Rosen sitting out on the table for you, especially if the Cardinals at that point have taken Kyler Murray. And you can, you know, say, all right, look, this is what we'll do. We'll give you, you know, two this year and a three next year, whatever it might be. And then you wind up having your quarterback. If you do like him, if you don't like him at all, then, you know, there's no reason to trade for him. But and also other opportunities, you know, the Dolphins still don't really have their quarterback situation situated. So they're a team that could be going for him. And we've heard that the Broncos are off of Drew Lock as of recently.
Oh, I didn't hear that. Is that?
Yeah, that's a thing that's happening right now as well.
Bogman, so, your mock is coming out, is coming into pieces.
Yeah, it definitely is. And that's why I don't like mocks that much.
Oh, goddamn.
Because they're fun to do, but they all fall apart. No one ever gets them right because there's just so much stuff that's played so close to the vest that these teams just aren't going to be giving out their information unless you're the Raiders. And then everyone gives out the information and then they all get sent home.
Yeah, what was that about? They sent home all of their they sent home all their scouts. That's what it was about, because they said they can't trust them. I saw a really interesting tweet from Gil Brandt. Did you see this one?
I don't think I did.
I'm going to pull it up real quick because I want to read it verbatim, and I don't want to, let's see, Brandt, these people's names. Here we go. Because he quote tweeted the story, and if people don't know what we're talking about, Ian Rappaport reported that the Raiders coach John Gruden and GM Mike Mayock sent their scouts home for the weekend, and they're not expected to return by draft time. The belief is they don't know who to trust and wanted to clear the room. So Gil Brand, he quote tweets this, and he goes, all right, we never cleared the room, but sometimes we lay traps for scouts. Ooh. We didn't trust. In 1987, we showed our board to a scout with us taking Mike Junkin, a linebacker we didn't like. 2 days later, Cowboys beat writer Jim Dent wrote a story saying we were taking Junkin. Hook, line, sinker.
Well, I like that Gil Brandt tweeted that out, because now the Raiders know what they should do if they see themselves in this situation next time.
Yep.
But the rumor that I heard, and I don't know if this is the one that got people sent home or not, was, you know, we've seen all the mocks with the first four picks look like they're locked in, right? Where it's Kyler Murray, it's Nick Bosa, it's Josh Allen, and then it's Quinnen Williams. Well, the Jets, because they want to move back, and this is kind of what I've speculated, is they'll flip with the Raiders because the Raiders really want Quinnen Williams, and they'll add like a fourth or a fifth round pick back just to move down one spot and still take the guy that they want in Josh Allen. But there's been rumors that they might take Williams. So if they take Williams, the Raiders are not going to take Josh Allen. They're going to take Devin White, one pick ahead of the Bucks, who have been linked to Devin White the entire offseason.
So Josh Allen going to start dropping?
Either he'll start dropping or he'll go to the Bucks. All hell's going to break loose. So, but that I just heard from Matt Miller on his podcast, Stick to Football, like 2 days ago. And he said, I heard from a source that if Williams isn't there, they will 100% take Devin White. So I don't know if that's the rumor that came out. That's the one that they don't like.
They do love,
that
got out they there do love or speedy not. Linebackers.
But yeah, I mean, it makes it would make a lot of sense.
Oh, so you're okay. So now I'm sorry, I wasn't following for a minute. So you're saying because that Devin White info is out there, the Raiders are pissed because their plan is being leaked. And now that's what they're doing. They're doing this. Well, we can't trust anybody because our, you know, very, very important secretive information is being leaked out to the media.
Right. Right. And I don't know if that's the one that caused this stir, but that's the newest thing coming out of the Raiders that I've heard of. So just interesting stuff how that falls that way. But there's all kinds of goofy, silly smoke screens. And I just don't think that you can trust anything in the last 10 days of the process here, because it's all now we got to really get to posturing to say stuff. I mean, the Cardinals came out and said, well, we're not 100% locked in. We're still doing our due diligence, and all this crap is bull crap.
Bull crap.
No one should believe that.
Nonsense.
They are taking Kyler Murray. It makes too much sense.
The only way they don't know what they're doing is if they're waiting for a team to give them the Godfather offer. And then they adjust their plan. But there's no way they haven't locked in that Kyler Murray is the pick if they're staying there.
And if that's the plan, then that was the plan all along. And they'll say that. And I know sometimes that's hard to believe that was a plan all along. But when you have the number one overall pick, you can do whatever you want with it. You can sit there and say, we're taking Murray, we're taking Murray, we're taking Murray, and then zig because you might say, well, you know, no one came and offered us what we want. We figured that this was everyone's favorite player. We already have our quarterback in Josh Rosen. So we just kept sending that information out there. Now, I don't know how you would be trusted in the next couple of years during this process if that were to be the case. But, I mean, you can do whatever you want. And I think that's what the Cardinals could be doing. But I think it makes too much sense with Kingsbury getting a guy that fits his system, and that's Kyler.
That's right. That's Kyler Murray. So when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about the NFL draft. That's what we're going to finish up. Talk about the tweets that Nick Bosa got rid of. Any of the latest rumors. Bogman just kind of went through some of them, but we'll go through the rest. So don't go anywhere. More in this league. Final segment coming up. Bogman, it's Welsh. We'll be back.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire. In this league,
I thought we were going to be just friends.
What? Friends just in the...
In this league.
In the dark.
Don't look now, but NFL teams are focusing on the 2019 NFL Draft with the first round on Thursday, April 25th, just like us. And for serious fantasy footballers, it's never too early to start prepping for the 2019 season. Roto Experts has you covered with their NFL 365 Fantasy Football Package, including the best math-based seasonal projections and rankings available anywhere on the internet. Davis Maddock and the Roto Experts crew are providing dynasty season-long betting, best ball, and NFL draft content every day of the year to give you an edge, regardless of what type of fantasy football you play. So go save 10% at rotoexperts.com with promo code FNTSY. That's 10% off with promo code FNTSY. It's the NFL 365 Fantasy Football Package only at rotoexperts.com. Are you getting all ginned up? Are you getting like, is it starting to
sink in? I'm excited. Yeah. I'm excited for the draft for sure. I want to see what the Steelers do. I want to see if anything crazy happens, you know, something super crazy happens. I'll be really excited about it. And I was so disappointed with the first round last year when the Steelers took Terrell Edmonds with some really good players sitting out there, especially. You remember how happy or how excited I was about Lamar Jackson. And then he goes to the damn Ravens, you know, not happy about that. I just didn't enjoy the draft last season. So I'm hoping something I want can happen this season.
Let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. NFL draft or Game of Thrones episode 2?
NFL draft.
Oh, baby. A week ago, it was clearly Game of Thrones.
Well, no, I think I was saying Game of Thrones, the last episode. Like, the last episode, I'll take over anything that's not a Steelers game. The very last episode.
So you'll take NFL draft over all but episode 6 of the season?
Yes. Yep.
It's a tall order, Boggs. It's a very, very tall order.
And I might change my mind when we get there, but I won't have to because it's happening this week. So, okay. And the NFL knows what's good for them, you know. No drafting on Sunday. Let's just do Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So we don't want to mess around with Game of Thrones. So kind of like college football. Like, no, we don't need to do games on Sunday and go up against the NFL. That doesn't make sense.
We good. All right, what do we got?
We good. So there's some rumors that have happened here recently, and then there's a funny article about silly rumors that I want to read. But going over the stuff that has happened recently, just before we're going in, here's the last one. Ian Rappaport says that people around the league are convinced that the Giants will take a quarterback at 6. Really? Now, they said a quarterback.
Not Drew Haskins.
Not Dwayne Haskins.
Or Dwayne, so, why do I say Drew?
Well, you call him Hankins last time.
I have no respect for Dwayne Haskins' name. I'm just not respectful to Ohio State quarterbacks.
Well, I don't know if too many people would blame you for that. I think but, This could be Drew Locke.
Well, I think, I think Drew Locke was
combining.
I combined probably. Yeah.
Daniel Jones is in there as well.
Ooh, okay. And wait,
Kyler Murray fell.
Let me ask you this.
Okay.
I'm going to create a scenario here.
All right.
What if the Broncos are unleashing a set of smoke screens that say, we're not into Drew Locke. Don't worry about it. And they're laying that out because the rumors of the Giants not wanting Haskins right now, that maybe it's Drew Locke, that the Broncos are hoping that the Giants get cute and think they can get Locke at 17 or wherever the hell their other pick is.
Yeah, I mean, that could definitely be it. And there are other teams that need a quarterback, too. The Redskins have been connected to Drew Locke as well. Or it could just be that they actually like Haskins and I don't know. Yeah, the Broncos. If
Drew Locke was a top 10 pick or top 9 pick, because I know you've been having him at 10, I mean, would you just cancel the rest of the draft?
I mean, it's Blaine Gabbert, man. I mean, I hate to compare Missouri quarterbacks and everything. I'm not into Drew Locke. So I think he's good. Like, I think he can sit behind someone and learn. I think that would be really good for him to do. But we've seen it, like, if you get drafted in the first round, you're playing year one. It just happens to every quarterback. Happened to all 5 quarterbacks drafted last year. They said the last guy that got drafted in the first round and didn't start a game was E.J. Manuel from Buffalo. You remember E.J. Manuel?
I do. Yeah. Wasn't also an Ohio State quarterback?
Florida State for him.
Florida State.
But yeah. But yeah, I mean, same thing. So it looks like they're going to take a quarterback. We're just not sure which one. I still think it's going to be Haskins. I find it weird that they'd be tied to this guy the whole offseason and then take Drew Locke, but stranger things have happened. I mean, the Bears traded up when it looked like they didn't need to get Trubisky, and that seems to have worked out for them. So Kyler Murray canceled his visit with the Redskins, the Welsh. Did you see that?
Yeah, because why would he? He's going to the Cardinals.
Right, but
cancel them all.
I thought it was funny that this happened after Matt Miller said, you know what, I would bring in Kyler Murray for one of my official 30 visits just so I could look him face to face and say, hey, are the Cardinals taking you? So then as the Redskins, we have some leverage in the Josh Rosen deal. So I thought that was funny. And then he canceled.
Maybe Cardinals said, we want you to cancel all other meetings.
Right, right. It definitely could have been.
Doesn't that feel like it? Here's the only problem. Now that we're saying this, the likelihood of what we just presented makes so much sense. Cardinals say, hey, you're our guy. Cancel these things. And it just reeks that. Except Kyler Murray and his dad have made weird decisions for the last 8 months. Uh-huh. So you can't put it past, his dad being like, I'm not going to Washington. He's like, all right, cancel it. Like, it's totally a move that they would do. It's maybe somebody else. It would reek of the team.
Wouldn't it be great if he got picked by a team that he didn't want to and then said, nah, forget it. I'll go play for the A's.
It would be amazing. And if he cited that it wasn't because he went to a team that he didn't want, it was all the contracts that the baseball players are getting.
I don't think it's that, because they offered him $14 million guaranteed on top of his whatever his signing bonus was. Plus, he would have been on the 40-man roster to stay in baseball, and he didn't do it because he wants to play football.
Yeah. And then he goes to Washington, and then he hates everything.
Well, speaking of Washington, Daniel Jeremiah says that the chatter is the QB the Redskins want is Dwayne Haskins.
Really?
So
not Drew Haskins.
Yeah, not Drew Haskins. They don't want him at all. So, but they want Dwayne Haskins. Now, if they think that the Giants are going to take him at 6, they got to go up to probably 3. They got to probably trade with the Jets. They have pick 15.
Ooh, that's going to be a lot. That's a whole draft trader to get up there. I was even thinking, like, come on, it's to probably, the Niners. But
it's probably 15 this year, a 3 this year, and a 1 next year. That's probably what gets it done.
Ain't going to be cheap.
No, it definitely won't be. So if that's the case, and because that's a division rival, too, in the Giants. If you think the Giants are going to take the quarterback that you want, I think you need to make that move if he's your guy.
Yeah.
But more rumors here. The Cardinals have done extensive running back work, and Daryl Henderson is a possibility. I do not like that, the Welsh. How disappointing is that?
Yeah, what would that? Why? I mean, I shouldn't say why, because David Johnson's gotten hurt. It makes sense, but man, I hope that extensive work is more about the third or fourth round. You don't want a guy, you don't want one of the second round running backs coming in.
No, I don't think it makes any sense for them to do that move, but I think all it means is they'll be taking a running back at some point, which makes sense for them, but hopefully it's not Daryl Henderson. Nick Bosa, your future boy, deleted tweets about Donald Trump and Colin Kaepernick because he's going to be drafted by the 49ers, which I think that was funny. He probably had some pro Colin Kaepernick tweets. And because he's going to San Francisco,
he's meant to make America great again stuff for him. You know what I hate about that? It's like a long play for me, but I read that and I think, man, this is a guy that, I mean, proactive. I give anybody credit for their proactivity about stuff like this, but
right.
He's got a political view that he acknowledges enough that he's going to delete tweets because he's going to a town. He's going to a specific town. What I immediately feel is like, this is a guy that's not going to be a 49er for life. He's not going to stay a 49er when he has that mind. I know it's a weird thing to think, but that's all I can think of. And then it's just like, I don't want him. I don't want a guy that I already feel like is not going to be a lifelong 49er.
Well, I mean, nothing set in stone now until the draft happens. So they could end up with Williams, and then, Bosa could wind up at 3 for the Jets, which would make a lot of sense because I think his whole family's from Jersey. So we'll see. The Jets, Giants, and Jaguars are all interested in Jonah Williams, and he is one of the top offensive tackles in the draft. It's between him and Juwan Williams for most people, how they rank them. Juwan Taylor, excuse me. And he was one of the guys mentioned by Rappaport. And I can't remember the other guy's name, but on NFL Network, they said he is a guy that they've heard is moving up and up and up as far as draft chatter goes. So Jonah Williams could end up getting into the top 10 there. Peter King hears the Raiders love your guy, Josh Jacobs, the Welsh.
I love Josh Jacobs, but I don't love him going to the Raiders. Well, I do if he's the only guy.
Yeah. I mean, the only Indianapolis would be nice. But they're just not going to do that. Like, they like Marlon Mack and they like taking late running backs too. So it's just not going to happen for them. The Lions have legitimate interest in Montez Sweat. And I don't know if you heard about the stuff with Matthew Stafford's wife, the Welsh, but she has like a brain tumor she just had removed. So he's been away from the team during OTAs and stuff. They said that's not going to affect them. Like, they're not going to go draft a quarterback because of that. They're comfortable with what they have
there.
They'll
take one on Friday.
They'll probably take one, in the second round. Cecil Lammy says that the Broncos are not sold on Drew Lock, that they like Devin White and Ed Oliver, the Welsh. So that's where I heard that. And
both of them could be gone, though. White,
we've talked to Cecil Lammy, haven't we? Hasn't he been on the show?
Us?
Yeah. Because he's a football guy. So
Cecil Lammy? I've never talked to Cecil Lammy.
No, we haven't talked to Cecil. Okay. I guess maybe I'm just getting people confused. Rob Domofsky of ESPN says that the Packers don't see wide receiver as a top position of need.
Not after you took 7 of them last year.
Well, remember, a lot of people were giving them DK Metcalf with 12, and then I gave them Marquise Brown with 30. But then we heard Devontae Adams is going to be playing a bunch of the slot. So they're going to give, it looks like, St. Brown or Valdes-Scantling, one of the outside spots. And Devontae Adams is going to play inside, and they probably won't draft a wide receiver. So we'll see. Joe Person of The Athletic says, don't be surprised if the Panthers draft a QB in the second round,
really?
Which makes sense because Cam Newton has been hurt a ton.
Second round, though?
Yeah, well, they need somebody. I think that's like if someone slips. Like if Drew Lock or Daniel Jones don't get picked in the first round, and then you can make them, a backup for a while, which is, to be honest, what most of these quarterbacks in this draft should end up being anyway, is they are good backups. And if, it's never a bad thing to have a good backup because you can trade them for draft capital next season too. So if you draft Daniel Jones, Cam Newton gets hurt and he looks great, and then Cam Newton's coming back, you can get a second round pick for him, a first round pick for him.
Whenever a team does that, though, to me, it feels like there's a confidence level of like, oh, you guys think you're that close that you can just take that second round pick for a value pick.
Yeah, but I think just you if you saw, yeah, they really do have the need. Cam Newton is getting hurt all the time. And yeah. It's like I said, they need offensive linemen to protect Cam Newton.
Maybe that's
and they
just
also need Cam to protect himself, too.
Yeah. And, you know, and honestly, I mean, just dissecting it, maybe it's just the stigma. You know, I have a stigma of I see a quarterback that's taken in the top two rounds and that immediately screams controversy. But you forget, like, you can also take a quarterback to back up your team. And that doesn't mean that's not a need.
Right. Right. Exactly. So, I mean, you know, the Steelers took Mason Rudolph last year, and we saw Roethlisberger get pissed off about that. And you've seen that all over the place. It doesn't matter. You know, Joe Flacco saying, well, you know, the Broncos don't need to draft a quarterback. Yeah, I mean, I almost couldn't believe he said that. Like, dude, you just got traded for a sixth-round pick.
Like, who do you think you're fooling?
Yeah, I mean, and also, they traded away everyone. No one is left on that team. The backup, Case Keenum's gone. Everybody sucks. So they do need to draft a quarterback, even if it's not someone to compete with you, just to back you up. So the quarterback stuff can definitely get weird. But I don't think we've seen the, you know, we've seen the Patriots constantly drafting backups. And it's one of the things that I am always kind of confused on where, you know, the Patriots are trendsetters in so many things. Why aren't they a trendsetter in this? They trade. How many quarterbacks have you seen them trade off to get great stuff in the draft?
They're about the only ones that can do it, though.
Right. But I think other teams would be able to do it, but no other team is willing to take the risk. And they should have gotten so much more for Jimmy G. But that almost caused Tom Brady to leave town and, you know, Bill Belichick to quit and stuff like that. So they wound up moving him to a situation where he thought, you know, where Bill thought he was going to a situation where he could succeed. So, and he did in San Francisco for the half the season he started. And now he's going to be, you know, obviously the starter going into this year and everyone expects big things from him. They traded Jacoby Brissett to the Colts, who wound up starting there for a year. And he's seen as one of the best backups in the league at this point. You know, they traded Brian Hoyer away and then brought him back. I mean, they've done so. Matt Castle wound up starting in Kansas City for a while. They've done so many of these trades. It just makes so much sense. So I don't know why other teams are not doing this stuff. But the last one is Peter King says that the Seahawks are the team most likely to trade down. And I said that on the ITL show, the Welsh, when we were talking about it, because they only have like four picks in this draft. So I think it would behoove them to move down and add a couple spots later on. So I don't even think we have time to go over this article. Too many rumors, the Welsh, too much stuff.
You were speculating too hard, Boggs.
Yeah, that's all I do is I speculate too hard. If you want to hear me do an 11-hour podcast on the 10-hour draft, then I'll probably do that on Sunday.
Yeah,
so,
you're going to be doing a ton of it. So go check out everybody. Go to patreon.com/ITL Army. If you're already part of the Army and you're probably listening to this show, good on you. And you can spend your Thursday night and potentially your Friday just getting all the draft information from Bogman, a very cool perk, part of our Patreon. And there's a whole bunch of other stuff. Like I said, we've got the Game of Thrones season 8, episode 2 review podcast that'll be coming up this week. We're going to be on the precipice of another secret show, more prospect stuff. So it is a litany of cool stuff. And we've got maybe announced soon, too. We've got the maybe future ITL stickers. I got the first iteration come in and pretty happy with it.
Badass.
So, cool. Let's new go. Stuff. So, all right, go to InThisLeague.com. You want to check out the stuff and the things and follow us on Twitter at IsItTheWelsh, at Bogman Sports. Have a great weekend. There is basketball playoffs, baseball is in full force, prospects are coming soon, Game of Thrones, Endgame is coming. Friendos, there's no reason to be bored, because you also got lots of good ITL content. Until then, we out.
Peace.
See ya.